Oswald. If there are any minor loose ends, officer, your people can get to them tomorrow, can't they?
Well, I suppose I have got enough for this preliminary report, and seeing as we got the doctor's findings to back it up,
All squared away. The body can be moved out quietly to the morgue with no further trouble for anybody. All right, Kathy, you can get back to shooting gallery now, and I'll let you know about the funeral plans when we get them worked out.
Tell your future, folks. Seventh daughter of a seventh daughter, I lift the veil that hides the days and nights ahead. Will you be rich? Will you be lucky in love? Will you be both? For 50 cents, you can know. Not $50, not even $5. 50 cents, folks, for a preview of your own future.
Myra, can I see you for a second?
Oh, Kathy. Honey, by the looks of this crowd, I've got all the time in the world. Sit down, make like a customer. Maybe that'll get him started.
No, I've got to get back to my stand, but... Well, there's something I want to ask you about Uncle Billy.
Oh, I didn't know you knew yet, Kathy. I was afraid you'd be broken up.
Myra, you remember last week after that second big mystery fire downtown, you were telling me something about scrap celluloid and paraffin wick. Can you tell me again what it was you said about celluloid?
What's this got to do with old Bill Connolly?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Billy found some scrap celluloid somewhere earlier tonight.
Cassie, you're not trying to say you think old Uncle Billy was a firebug? Of all the people in the world who wouldn't go in for arson.
Myra, you said the firebug who's been setting those big downtown fires probably used celluloid and paraffin wick. Celluloid because it burns fast and doesn't leave ash or odor, and paraffin wick before that to get...
Cassie, child, have you lost your mind? Poor old Bill was drowned, not burned to death.
Thanks, Myra. I'll explain later. I've got to see Adam Savage again, fast. Adam, you've got to call the police in again and clear the park.
Take it easy, Kathy. What's this all about?
I'm not sure now that Uncle Billy wasn't murdered. And if he was, I think I know why.
Hey, wait a minute. Where'd you get this wild idea?
You know the pipe tobacco Billy always used? Well, it doesn't come in a blue can.
All right. Maybe it doesn't.
There was scrap celluloid in that blue can when Billy showed it to me, and that could mean that Billy found signs of that firebug getting ready to operate here. The same firebug who set those two big fires downtown last week. And Adam, if it is the firebug, and if he's out there somewhere in that crowd waiting for his chance to touch the place up...
Well, Kathy, perhaps...
Oh, Adam, you will?
Tomorrow or Monday at the coroner's inquest, you can call it homicide, attempted arson, anything you like. And if the cops want to have another quiet look around, I'll cooperate all the way. But I know they won't find anything, so I'm not letting you go off half-cocked tonight.
You can't really stop me, Adam. I could phone the police right now and...
You haven't a scrap of evidence. Get back to your gallery, Kathy. Forget all this nonsense about a firebug being loose.
But there is a firebug loose and operating all through this area. You've seen about it in the papers yourself.
And I saw where a girl had herself triplet last night at the hospital over town. That mean I have to open an emergency maternity clinic here next to the roller coaster?
Now,
the thing to remember, Kathy,
I'll remember, Adam, is that I don't think Uncle Billy was drinking at all tonight. And he was trying to find out about that celluloid.
Hi, Kathy. That was a pretty long 10 minutes, but I took in $4.50 for you. $4.75, as a matter of fact. Of course, I owe you a quarter for another clip I shot off myself. How's that for your new partner, huh?
Thanks, Bob. It's wonderful of you to stand by for me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You'll find the money there in the register, and if you want, I'll start replacing those clay pipes the last couple knocked off.
Thanks, sir. I think I'll be closing up the gallery now.
Closing up? It isn't past 10:30 yet.
I know, but there's something I have to do.
Hey, here. Let me help you with those shutters. What is it you have to do all of a sudden, Kathy?
I have to find a man who may be somewhere in the park.
A man? I suppose I shouldn't ask about him,
but... This isn't anybody I know, Bob, or anybody I want to know. But if he's here, I have to find him.
Look, Kathy, cut me down if I'm out of line, but... I was hoping you'd let me take that for a while after you finished here tonight.
Oh, that's sweet of you, but not to me.
Of course, this man you've got to find.
Yeah, that closes the place up. Yes, Bob, because of this man I've got to find. Or at least try to find.
I don't get it, Kathy. Didn't you say he was someone you don't know and don't want to know?
That's right. I think he's a pyromaniac.
A pyro...
Well, isn't that what they call a firebug, a man who likes to start fires?
Well, sure.
And what's more, I think he may be a murderer.
Oh, wait a minute, Kathy. We don't know each other very well yet, but if you think I'd let you or any girl go off alone in search of the kind of trouble you're talking about...
All right, then, Bob, you can come along with me if you want.
You really mean that?
Well, I'd probably need some help anyhow if I ever caught up with this man. And since Adam and Tipper Trask won't believe me...
Kathy, what's this all about?
Well, Bob, a harmless old man was drowned here tonight. And I think he was knocked out first or held under the water till it happened because I think he found a man putting celluloid or kerosene where it could threaten every building here in the park. And the thing I mean to find out is...
You have to know, I'll tell you. But I think you and this nice young man ought to be off dancing somewhere instead of plaguing me about arson, Wick.
That's what I've been trying to tell Kathy, Madam Miranda, but she won't listen.
Just describe the wicks again for me, Myra. I want to be sure we'll know what they look like.
Well, you could call it a very fancy way of playing with matches, Kathy. You see, the idea of the thing is to give the firebug some clear getaway time before the fire actually breaks out.
Yeah.
If you took any kind of a lamp wick, or a rolled up piece of cloth about, as long as this pencil, say, and soaked it in tallow or paraffin.
Or in bacon fat if you don't have any paraffin.
Well, yes, I suppose nearly any kind of leaf would do. The thing to do, Kathy, once you have some wicks, is to time one or two samples for their burning time. Then you put a collar of matches in one end, sewing or taping them on just barely enough to hold, so they'll pop out every which way when the wick burns up to the matches.
A lot of matches fastened on.
Mm-hmm, dozens of them. And then, if you set this wick near a pile of scrap celluloid or waste paper, somewhere under some dry wooden shelves or crates where the fire can get a good start...
Thanks, Myra. I'm pretty sure we'll know what to look for now.
Well, I think if the guy exists, and if he did look in here earlier tonight, and if he had any kind of sense, he'd be miles away by now.
Bob, if our man thought the way normal people do, he wouldn't be what he is. Are you coming with me to have a look around the park or not?
I'll tag along till you give up, Kathy, and then I still think we ought to be reconsidering that late date I asked about.
Kathy? Want 50 cents worth of fortune-telling for free?
Oh, go ahead, Myra. Make fun of me some more.
No. No, honey, I'm not making fun of you now. I say, if you think you've got anything, go out and get some law in on it, whatever Adam says. If you don't, you could be taking on more than you bargained for.
Thanks, Myra, but I'm still going to have my look around.
We're going to have our look, Kathy. I told you, I've signed up for the duration, except just remember, there's supposed to be a mighty fine moon coming up around midnight.
Hey, look at folks. Hey, looky. Buy your ticket, buy this trip. A thrill for young and old and every age in between. You can't take it with you, and who wants to on a Saturday night at Adam's Paradise? Hey!
Bob, look at that man just over beyond the merry-go-round.
Where?
There, standing half hidden by that poster board.
Oh, sure, I see him now. What's special about him?
But don't you see what he's doing? That's the hose outlet leading down from one of the three emergency water tanks in the park.
He's trying to turn that thing on, isn't he?
Of course he is, and it's marked hands off as plainly as you could ask.
Well, why would he be...
He could be trying to drain off all the extra water pressure to hurt the firefighting later. Come on.
Wait a minute, Kathy. Shouldn't we wait?
No, we got to stop him, Bob. Come on. Hey, what do you think you're trying to do, mister? Don't you know you're not supposed to fool around with those water tanks?
Well, what do you know? What do you know? Are you folks thirsty, too?
Is that what you think that thing is, a drinking fountain?
I don't know what it is, except there ought to have some water in it. If they don't have any fountains around...
They have. Place. There's one just over by the roller skating rink there.
Oh, well, thank you, little lady. Thank you. Didn't see how I was going to get this open without a wrench anyhow. You say it's over there by the skating rink?
Yes, you can see it from here, by those benches.
Oh, so you can. Watch me go over and drink it dry.
Well, that lets him out, doesn't it, Kathy? He's heading straight for the drinking fountain.
Wait a minute, Brian. Just watch him for a minute. I could have been making that up about
him. Oh, not that character, Kathy. Look at him. He's got a grip on the fountain now, and he's drinking away like a camel back from a 10-day desert run. He's really thirsty. I'll tell you what, Kathy. We've been patrolling around now for nearly an hour. Let's have one ride on the roller coaster here before we start again, huh?
But we won't be able to watch people in the crowd from up there.
Well, you'll be able to see the whole park, and it'll give our feet a rest, okay? Just one ride?
Well, I suppose one ride won't lose us too much time.
Atta girl. Let's go. Out of these roller coasters, but I certainly didn't mean to be reckless about
it. I'm sure you didn't realize it, Bob, but you did almost have us in danger back there. At least you almost had me in danger. That man behind us hadn't spoken up when he did.
For a couple of minutes there, I guess I was acting like a 10-year-old.
Bob.
What is it, Kathy?
Bob, I just noticed something. You see the back of the Tunnel of Love building over there?
Tunnel of Love?
The place where Uncle Billy's body was found. From the ground, I wouldn't remember how closely it backs up to the old House of Fun, but from up here on this platform, you can see that there's only a narrow alley between them.
Well, I can see a lot of old wooden buildings all jammed together.
I should have realized it before. That House of Fun building's been closed for 2 seasons. And of course, it would be target number one for anybody who wanted to start a bad fire here.
Well, I'll be back on that again.
Back on it, Bob, and I think this time we may be near an answer. Come on, we're having a look inside there.
Like this.
Someone did. No long ago than the night. Well, you saw how that door nearest the Tunnel of Love had been forced open.
Well, if it hadn't been, we wouldn't have been able to get in ourselves. But I still don't see what anybody would be wanting in this dusty old barracks, except maybe some kids.
This is exactly the kind of a place a firebug would hope for.
Can't you see it, Bob?
See what?
Get a fire well started here and the whole park could go up before they got it under control.
Well, it's a fire trap, all right. I'll grant you that.
For an arsonist, it's even better than that, Bob. Almost anywhere else on the ground, a fire might be noticed before it got very far. But here it could be roaring up before anybody even knew it was starting.
Well, Kathy, I didn't want to say this before because I was hoping you'd give up on this obsession after a while.
Obsession?
Yes, obsession. I was hoping you'd give up on it and we could go out tonight. If you're going to waste the whole evening poking around in places like this.
What are you trying to say, Bob? That you think as the others do? That this is a crazy notion I have about Uncle Billy discovering the firebug at work here?
You keep saying firebug, Kathy. You think a man with courage and brains enough to burn up a whole warehouse or apartment building and get away with it is someone to brush off with a ridiculous name like that?
Bob, you wouldn't be defending a man crazy enough to do it.
I wasn't trying to defend him. I just think you ought to remember there might be two sides to everything.
Bob, you almost frighten me. You seem bent on taking this maniac's part. And a moment ago, you were denying that there could be any such man.
Kathy, I guess this is my night for arguing around in circles. All I really want is to get out of this place pretty soon and get started on our plain, old-fashioned Saturday night date. Just the two of us, with no complications at all.
But, Bob, I've almost enough now to prod Adam into action. This old House of Fun broken into at the door nearest the back of the Tunnel of Love. And Bob, look there.
What?
There where my flashlight's pointing. Isn't that a pile of scrap celluloid next to that stack of old empty crates?
Let's have a look.
Come on. Oh, Bob, it is. And look at all the old excelsior crammed into these crates. This is where the fire was supposed to be started.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Kathy. This looks pretty careless here, I'll admit, but how do we know that excelsior wasn't just some packing material for whatever came in the crate?
This celluloid was brought in here. There's never been anything like it around the park. This is where the fire was to start, Bob. All arranged and ready for the candle or the arson wick.
You know, Kathy, I guess this is the end of the trail. You've been the only one here at the park smart enough to suspect what was planned for tonight, and now you've nearly proved it all the way.
Well, it won't be the end of the trail until we catch the firebug. But this means we can call the police in and get started. And we'll just have to forget his Saturday night business when we show him this.
Kathy, what makes you think your boss will even know about this?
Well, we'll go and tell him now, of course.
Will we?
Bob, what's the matter with you? Of course.
You don't think it'd be a pity to spoil what could be one of the best fires in years around here? All these old wooden buildings that'd go sky high in flames if just one little match were dropped here in the celluloid?
Bob, you've been the one all along.
Where'd you think you were going, Kathy?
Let go my wrist.
Wouldn't that be pretty foolish of me, Kathy, now that you know as much as you do?
You're the firebug. And you're the one who killed old Billy when he found you getting set up here.
That old fool came looking for trouble and he got it. I didn't mind about him, but I'm really going to be sorry about you, Kathy. I wasn't fooling you for when I said that I'd go for you.
Go
ahead, scream your head off. With a couple of hundred women out screaming on the roller coaster and every ride in the park, do you think anyone's going to hear you?
You couldn't be crazy enough to think you could get away with two murders.
If I thought I could trust you, Kathy, I'd much rather take you along with me when I clear out of here. Oh, no, don't try to twist away again. I'd like to take you along, but I've learned there's only one person in the world I can depend on, and that's myself.
You wanted to push me out of the roller coaster. You knew even then that you'd have to try to get rid of me?
You happen to be the only one around here with bad ideas about that old watchman. It was my luck to find that out when all I'd actually looked you up for was to try for a date.
What's that you're taking out of your pocket?
A handy little device you heard badly described by our friend Madame Miranda.
An arson wick.
A much better one, I promise you, than any the old woman ever heard about. This one will burn for exactly 9 minutes before it sets off the celluloid. Time enough for me to take care of you and get all the way out of the park before this building starts going up.
You really are insane, aren't you?
Call it different for most people, Kathy. As different as a smart wolf from a flock of tame, brainless sheep. Wait a minute now, while I set this down here by the celluloid where I can get at it with one hand. Excitement happens to be my pleasure, Kathy. You and all the rest of the sheep are the ones who slave away and build a building. But I'm the lone wolf who can burn them down with one scratch of a match. Like this. Now I just get my 9 minute work started.
If you've got 600 or 6,000 customers milling around out there, I'm worried about traffic.
Okay, we'll put a report to the office. Announcement on the amplifier. I'll throw Tipper and all the spare hands we've got on it.
Thanks, Adam, but I want you to come out on this with me yourself. If you'd only listen to Kathy to start...
Okay, I'll sail along with you, Myra. What'd you figure to start looking?
Well, I think there are just three places in the park where Kathy might not be able to keep everything under control.
Down by the water where the boardwalk's being repaired?
That's one. Or down the basement of the power plant. Or anywhere in the old house of fun.
Let's try the power plant first. If any trouble ever started there, it could be plenty bad.
Three of the 9 minutes gone, Kathy. Made your mind up yet?
You haven't given me much of a choice, Bob.
That's all I can afford to give you. In 6 minutes, those matches will be popping off into the celluloid, and I've got to be out of here and a couple of miles away by then. Now, which way do you want it?
Just knocked out and left here to burn?
Or really dead before I go, if you don't like the idea of fire. I can make it fast and pretty painless. It keeps from twisting while I use this knife.
I suppose there's no use of much time.
No. I can't take you with me, even if you pretended you wanted to play along. I know you'd turn on me the first chance you got.
Oh, I know. You're nice. Which would you take, Bob?
That isn't even a choice. Of course, I'd take fire. If it came down to that, I wouldn't have to be knocked out either. Fire's the cleanest, purest thing in the world.
You still have time to put out that burning wick, Bob. And if you gave yourself up and took treatment, maybe you'd still have a chance.
I give the treatments. I don't take them. And that's all the time you get for stalling, Kathy. Now, is it the knife or do I tap you on the head?
Would you light me one final cigarette, Bob?
You said you hardly ever smoked.
I hardly ever get murdered. And don't all condemned people have a right to one last cigarette?
You won't have time to smoke it all the way.
Just to get it started. Then I'll leave the next move up to you.
You won't make a choice?
Well, put the cigarette in my mouth and get the match light. After that, it's up to you.
Okay. There's your cigarette. And here's your match.
Kathy! You knocked that lighted match
right into the celluloid! And there goes your blaze! I had a schedule!
You crossed me!
Not finding those flames so clean and pure anymore, are you, Bob? Don't waste time trying to stamp it out. It's too late.
It's not too late to knock you right in the middle of that
fire. Yes, it is too late, Bob. Look behind you. See who's coming through the window. Adam, this way, Adam.
Okay, Kathy. Okay, we got him covered. All right, you, drop the knife and come out of there.
Nobody takes me alive, mister. Nobody.
Look out, Kathy. Look out.
He's not going out to her. He's running right back into the
Bob.
Fire. Bob, come back.
Nobody takes me, Kathy. Nobody.
Honey, you're going to be all right now. The fire's under control.
Mother.
Yes, honey.
Did Bob get away?
No. No, Kathy. Bob finally caught up with enough fire to last him for keeps.
Was created for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Clee. Tonight's script was written by Charles O'Neill. In tonight's cast were Patrick Campbell, Bill Lipton, Sidney Smith, Adelaide Klein, Jack Lloyd, and Walter Black. Next week, a disembodied voice dictates the story of love and murder on The Chase. The Chase was directed and transcribed by Dan Fetter. This is Arthur Gary speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. This Friday evening, Bob and Ray offer you a half hour of sparkling comedy, then Mario Lanza, lovely Giselle McKenzie, and Ray Sinatra in the orchestra spotlight your favorite songs on the Mario Lanza Show. Later, the same violins on... ...and Ray Sinatra in the orchestra spotlight your...
Adventures in time and space, transcribed in future tense.
Dimension
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, bring you Dimension X. The civilization of the galaxy spread across 200 million worlds. The black void of space swarmed with the ships of the Empire. But far off the trade routes, almost forgotten, lay the dying planet Earth. A backwater in galactic culture. A place of exile. A pebble in the sky. I landed on Earth, on the one spot which I would have called civilized. A patch along the desolate heights of the Himalayas. A surrounded the palace of the Imperial Governor of Earth.
Dr. Bell Avedon of Sirius Sector. That's a familiar name.
Perhaps you've seen it in the Galactic Archaeological Journal, my Lord Ennis.
Me? No, no. I'm a soldier, not a scientist. It was a newspaper article. You gave an interview about your expedition to Earth. I suppose you want to start digging. Whatever can you find on this miserable heap of rubble?
I don't consider Earth a miserable heap, my lord. It's absolutely unique in the galaxy.
Unique?
It's the only inhabited planet that is radioactive.
It's a pig pen.
Yes, I know. But this planet is inhabited. Biologists have proven that on a radioactive world, high forms of life cannot develop.
High forms? The rest of the galaxy hates the Earthmen, and they return it with interest.
I don't think you understand. I'm not intolerant of anyone, and that even includes Earthmen. My theory is that life on Earth originated before it was radioactive.
Ah, there's a story like that in the Earth lore of the ancients.
I know, I've read it.
Oh? I wouldn't admit that here if I were you, Dr. Avedon. It's forbidden for outsiders to read it. The Earthmen get pretty violent about their religion.
Do you mean the Imperial police power here is defective?
It is, in case of sacrilege. Well, now, what do you actually want to prove?
That man originated in prehistoric times on Earth before space travel and spread to the other planets.
What? Are you seriously suggesting that at one time Earth was the only inhabited planet and that man descended from Earthmen?
There's a chance it might be so.
You'll change your mind when you see them, Doctor. I'm not an anti-terrestrial, but as far as I can see, they're lazy and ignorant and generally inferior to us. I'm as liberal as the next man, but it's a fact. Once an Earthman, always an Earthman.
I booked passage to the city of Chica on an Earth line. My fellow passengers seemed ordinary enough, but I was conscious of being alone among Earthmen. I beg your pardon. Could you tell me what's going on there?
Sure. You see that couple? They've been married 40 years. It's their anniversary.
Yes, sir. 40 years. Hey, Mother? It seems like yesterday. Just like yesterday.
Hey, when are you folks scheduled for the 60?
In a month. 16th of November.
Well, I hope you have a nice day for it. My father reached his 60 in a pouring rain. Kept complaining we were getting soaked. So I told him, what are you complaining about, Dad? I've got to come back.
Now, this 60 they're talking about, are they referring to their 60th birthday?
Sure. That's when they put you away. Euthanasia. It's a custom. Can't have people living on. Eats up all the food. That's right, isn't it, Pop?
Yes, sir. Mother's coming with me when I reach the 60. She's not due for a couple of months, but she thinks we might as well go together.
Yeah, that's the spirit. There's many a man living past the 60. Sneaks, stealing the food from the next generation. A guy should go when it's his time.
Yes, but suppose
it's only fair to... Hey, where are you from?
I beg your pardon?
Asking all them questions.
Yes. Who are you? A spy? Where are you from?
I'm Bell Avedon from Baron, Sirius Sector.
Oh, an outsider, huh?
Come on, we'll go forward. Did you hear that, Mother? An outsider.
I burned with indignation. Earthmen treating me like an outcast. Earthmen. When we landed, I followed my intention of observing the human animal, subspecies Earth, in its native habitat. In this case, a large department store. Perhaps I resembled a floor walker, for a young Earth girl came up to me and asked a question.
Pardon me. Well, it's my father. He's about 5'4". He wears eye lenses. I think he had on a brown coat.
I'm afraid I don't remember seeing anyone.
But they followed me here. I've got to find him.
Are you in trouble, miss?
No, it's nothing, really. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Attention. Attention, please.
What's that?
All patrons of the store will kindly leave by the 5th Street exit. This store is being evacuated for radiation fever quarantine.
What's all this about?
They're after me. It is really radiation fever at home.
Who's after you?
How am I going to get out of here? They'll be checking registration cards at the door.
Haven't you got one?
Yes, but it has my name on it. I don't know what to do.
Come on.
But you don't even know me.
I don't know anybody here. But you're an interesting species. Person. This way.
Show your own car. Come on. Step along. Step along. Next. Check. Wait a minute. Pull the check.
Yes, sir.
Stand right there.
Look here, officer.
Are you with her?
Yes, but you'd better find out who I am.
Later. Stand over there. Next. Come on.
What is this now?
The Imperials.
Are you afraid of them?
Of course.
Don't worry about the outsiders, Miss Schecht. I'll handle them.
Oh, no, don't try anything. Don't talk to them at all. Just do what they say. Don't even look at them.
We'll see. Here they are.
All right, now. You, guard.
Yes, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Cloudy, Imperial Garrison. Who's got the fever?
If it please your honor.
Not so close, idiot. You might be infected. I'll take over. You, Worthy. What's your name? Speak up, squaw.
Paula Schecht, sir.
Your registration papers?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, now. Pick them up. Go on.
Say, look here now.
What did you say, Earthy?
If you please, sir. This man has nothing to do with me. I never saw him before.
What did you say?
I don't like the way you treat women. And I'd advise you to improve your manners.
And where have you been brought up, Earthy? Here's lesson number one.
Why, you...
My arm... Let's go! Sergeant, neuronic whip!
Oh, no, no!
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're all right now.
What happened?
They gave you full power and a neuronic whip.
Where are we?
The military base. Oh, you should.
Is that... Oh.
Well, Dr. Avada, we seem to have had an unpleasant contretemps in the city this afternoon.
Unpleasant? I should put it stronger, Colonel. As a free citizen of the Empire, I had every right to resent such illegal treatment.
I consider the whole incident unfortunate, Doctor. Don't you think it would be best to forget the whole matter?
I think not. I have an appointment in a week with the procurator.
Procurator, huh?
What do you intend doing with Miss Schecht?
What would you suggest, sir? I had...
Free her immediately. And offer her your apologies.
Of course. If the young lady will accept my sincere regrets, I will give the order for your release immediately.
Turned us loose.
Of course.
You must be very important. I never heard of the outsiders being that polite to an Earthman before.
I'm not an Earthman, Paula.
What?
I'm an archaeologist from the outside.
Oh. Well, then you stood up to the soldiers because you knew it was safe all along. And I thought... Oh, I should have known.
Paula, does my not being an Earthman make me any different? From 5 minutes ago?
You might have told me, sir.
If you don't mind, don't call me, sir. Don't be like the rest of them.
Like the rest of whom, sir? The rest of the disgusting animals that live on Earth?
Please, Paula.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I must leave.
Oh, wait. Paula! Listen to me, Paula! I had access to the garrison files, and to satisfy idle curiosity, I indexed Paula Schecht. Her father was a Dr. Mikhail Schecht, biologist, and against his name was a black star with a notation, condemned in absentia. Charge, evading the 60. That was why she was afraid. So I sent a note asking her to meet me in the North Park after dark.
Paula, over here.
Dr. Avedon?
Sit down.
Oh, I want you to understand. I wouldn't have come except...
I understand. I've seen your father's record.
You know about it.
I looked into it, Paula. There doesn't seem to be much that can be done about the 60.
Oh, it isn't that. It's not for my father. It's for the whole galaxy.
What is it?
Earth is going to revolt.
No. All of it?
Oh, don't laugh at me.
Paula, the galaxy has a volume of several million cubic light years. It contains 200 million inhabited planets. Earth has a population of only 20 million. And no resources. What can Earth do?
I don't know, Doctor, but my father does. He's told me that Earth knows a way by which it can wipe out all outside life and... Wait. Listen. Someone coming. Park Patrol. Quick, kiss me. Don't be stupid. Kiss me. They won't suspect anything.
Oh, yes, of course.
They've gone. It's all right. Now come with me. I'll take you to my father.
Dr. Avedon, this is a pleasure. I have read your articles in the journal. It is hard to get copies. Our neighbors don't care to trade with Earth. It's part of the nearly insoluble problem of anti-terrestrialism.
No one seems to want a solution. Earthmen and outsiders alike?
Oh, no, that is not true. There is a way of preserving our culture and living as equals in a larger society. But the Zealots don't think so.
The Zealots?
Yes. They rule Earth now. They are a small minority, but they have power. They have plans.
They planned the revolt, Paula told me?
Yes.
I see. Well, why didn't you report this to the Imperial Garrison?
The Society of Earth Ancients have guarded me too well. Besides, they had a hold on me. I am 62. You know the customs of Earth.
The 60 years?
They allowed me to live on. The price was silence about the weapon.
You agreed to this?
I wanted to live.
What is this weapon?
You are aware of Earth's peculiar environment, the radioactivity?
Yes.
Over the years, we Earthmen have built up certain immunities to radiation burns, for one.
But it's a minute difference. I measured it experimentally.
Oh, but, Doctor, human life is not the only form affected by radiation and mutation. There is microscopic life, bacteria, viruses. We have been searching out such a virus, one to which Earthmen have developed a high degree of immunity, but not outsiders.
You mean a particular disease?
Yes. Common fever. It is a mild children's disease here, like chickenpox or German measles. But to outsiders, it is radiation fever. Symptoms develop in 2 hours. Lips are so badly affected that the victim cannot talk. And in 2 days, he dies.
They've isolated this virus?
Tons of it in crystalline form.
And they plan to let this loose in the galaxy?
By means of guided missiles. Then, frightened refugees will carry the disease across space. And billions will die.
You're sure about this? You have proof?
I worked on the project.
We've got to get to the procurator. I can catch the evening train.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Open up.
There should have been an alarm.
We've got to get out. Is there a back
entrance?
Open
up there.
No. Don't move. Hands in front of you.
What's the meaning of this? I demand
it.
I'm a galactic citizen. You've got no right to detain me without legal authority.
I am an Earthman, but I think you'll find I am all the authority needed at this moment, Dr. Avedon. I am Balkas, the High Minister of Earth.
The High Minister? What are you doing?
I always look after distinguished visitors personally.
Avedon does not know anything.
I doubt that, Dr. Schecht. We will proceed now to the Hall of Correction.
You can't do this. When the procurator...
The procurator will hear nothing until it is too late. The guided missiles will be fired tonight at 12. God, If they make a false move...
Keep them covered, guard.
Right. Hola, can you scream?
Will you...
There, coming down the street. Imperial Patrol.
Oh, it's no use.
Do what I say. Scream. Go ahead.
The window there!
Hold it. They're outsiders.
You're right.
That's the Imperial Patrol.
All right, Earthing. What's going on here?
Good morning, Sergeant.
Sir? Earthing?
You don't understand. I'm Baucus, the Lord High Minister of Earth.
Listen, Earthy, I don't care who you are. What's going on?
Yes, sir. We've arrested these people.
What charge?
Blasphemy.
All right, get moving.
Thank you.
Sergeant.
What do you want, Earthing?
I'm a galactic citizen. I demand the right...
You?
May we proceed, sir?
Listen, Sergeant. I've something more to say to you.
What?
This.
No Earthy's going to get away with this.
Get a squad car!
But, Sergeant, I'm the Lord Minister of Earth.
Tell him about it at the Imperial Barracks. Now move, all of you, before I give you a shot of the whip.
I tell you, I'm a citizen of the Empire.
Listen.
I can prove it. You'll get into a lot of trouble if you don't believe me.
I'll admit no Earthy would dare spit in my face.
It was the only way I could get to the garrison. I insist on seeing the officer of the day.
I sent for him. You better have a good story. Attention!
That is. Which one of you claims he's a citizen of the Empire?
I am.
Ellis, the one from the store.
You, eh? The smart louse that broke my arm. Well, well, well.
I've got to see the colonel, Lieutenant.
Now, Dr. Avedan, I could hardly do that unless it's important.
It is important. It's life and death for the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Come here. Closer. Oh, it's too bad I've got to save you for the colonel.
What?
He'll see you at 5:30, his orders.
You knew all along.
Sure. Come on, Earthy lover.
I'm afraid you're in serious trouble, Dr. Avedan. The man you're accusing is the High Minister for Earth.
I know, but I have proof.
Well?
I can only speak to the Procurator. You've got to contact him.
There are channels, Dr. Avedan.
We haven't time for channels. I have the details of the plot from Dr. Schecht. You've got to let me speak to the Procurator.
I've already advised him of your arrest. He's flying in. You had better be able to prove what you say. If you don't, we'll have to hand you back to the native authorities and their courts, known notoriously savage.
Well, Avedan, I've called you here with His Excellency, the High Minister for Earth.
My lord, this man is behind the whole plot.
Is he?
There's no time to lose. I've explained to you about the virus. They're shooting off the guided missiles at 12. You've got to take action.
Well, Your Excellency. My lord, if this man has any evidence...
You admitted it this afternoon.
You have no witness to that.
Ask Dr. Schecht. He worked on the virus.
I wouldn't say that Schecht lied, my lord, but he is a criminal wanted for evading the 60, and some men will invent any story to avoid death.
The deadline is midnight. You've got to bomb those temples where the launching sites are.
Perhaps I can explain. According to my information, Dr. Avedan seems to have succumbed to a certain Earth girl, the daughter of the unfortunate Dr. Schecht. Is this true, Avedan?
What has that got to do with it? There isn't any time. You've got to do...
Dr. Avedan, are you in love with that girl?
Yes, yes. Will you listen to me?
I don't think we need pursue this any further. Your Excellency, I shall order you released with an apology.
No!
Dr. Avedan, I can hardly believe a degenerate who fraternizes with Earth women.
You scum, you pot-bellied scum!
I warn you, Avedan, you're in trouble enough.
I'm in trouble! You fool, you stupid, blind, bigoted fool! You're destroying the galaxy! You're murdering them all! But before I die, I'll have the pleasure of smashing your fat, oily face in the...
go. Guard in the whip.
Belle, are you all right?
Paula. Oh. What time is it?
1:30. Past the deadline. It's all over. Lord Ennius released the High Minister with an apology.
Doesn't matter. The Empire can wipe Earth out. It won't save any lives. The virus must have been spread here, too. Earthmen are immune, but outsiders...
Belle, you're an outsider.
Yes.
Oh.
I am. We're paying, Paula. The rest of us. Paying for centuries of intolerance.
Oh, Belle.
Look out there. Through the bars. The night sky. Pinpoints of light. The Empire. Doomed.
Oh, Belle. Belle, don't.
I was just thinking. I came to Earth to prove a theory that man started here. That once in prehistoric times, Earth was the only populated world of the galaxy. It's funny. Now it will be that way again. Man living only on Earth. He'll forget the science, the machinery of the Empire. They'll forget the stars. And there will be only Earth. Alone in the universe. A pebble in the sky.
The children of tomorrow will play with toys. But what will those toys be like? An ordinary clerk in an ordinary job finds a terrifying answer to that question next week as Dimension X brings you Child's Play.
Dimension X is transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented Pebble in the Sky, dramatized for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Avedon and Susan Douglas as Pola. Your host was Norman Rose, music by Bert Berman. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
riding with the wind in my face, searching for the human race. Out on the road again, fighting for the rights of men.
The time.